listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Fusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Lots of stories that we are developing for you this afternoon. Thank you for being with us, Kevin McCullough. Glad to have you here. We will talk about the markets. They've rebounded a little bit today. We will talk about Barbara Bush and Nikki Haley with Dr. Gina Loudon. We'll get a first-hand perspective from Michael Goodwin on the Comey interview last night and all the breaking headlines right now on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
I don't buy the stuff about him being mentally incompetent, early stages of dementia. He strikes me as a person of above average intelligence who's tracking conversations and knows what's going on. I don't think he's medically unfit to be president. I think he's morally unfit to be president.
So I just have a question. Have people been talking about the president having early onset dementia and inability to pay attention to things? It's so odd that when James Comey opens his mouth to try to supposedly clarify something, he figures out a way to make it even more insulting. Like, that's a straw man there that positions him in the first half of his statement to be more sympathetic. Well, I don't buy the theory that he's got early onset dementia. Yeah, because that's going around. That thought has been propagated by so many people, especially the White House surgeon, who gave him an entire series of exams this last year and said he's smarter and better and stronger than almost all of them. So happy Monday to you, Kevin McCullough. I'm fighting some bronchitis. You know, we had that wacky weather this weekend. It's, what, 85 degrees on Saturday? And then it was all of 40-something degrees on Sunday, and my lungs just don't like that. So anyway, I'm dealing with the aftermath of that. Hope you're doing well. And we've got so much to get to, as I made mention in the open. David Fisher's here today. The markets have rebounded a little bit. What does it look like? What does it mean? He's got a lot of indices, by the way, that we need to be watching as well, including a new one I am unfamiliar with, and I'm looking forward to find out more about it from him. But it actually measures the investment health of commercial investors, people that are commercially investing in markets, and we'll take a look at that. Dr. Gina will precede him with we'll take a look at a couple of stories that are really intersecting women in politics. Barbara Bush is not doing well, and over the weekend her family has made it clear that her wishes, as stated, were that she not have any more medical treatment applied to her situation. So thoughts are with the Bush family. We'll get some perspective on that. Plus, Nikki Haley, you know, she came out on Sunday after the missiles dropped and touted a sanctions, financial sanctions plan that I guess most of the UN is willing to go along with right now with Russia and Syria. And the White House, just in the last few hours, walked that back. We don't know why, but we'll get some perspective on that as well before we're done. And then Michael Goodwin will be with me. We're going to talk a lot more about the James Comey interview last night, which I didn't want to watch it, but I had to watch it. I hated that I was giving them, you know, a degree of a ratings point by viewing it. But I needed to know what was in it so that I could, you know, articulate to you what I thought about it. And I'll just say on this side of it, it is about what I thought it was. A disgusting hit piece from James Comey's perspective on wild speculations, many of them unproven, about President Trump. I mean, and he even was willing to acknowledge that it was just pure speculation. Cut one.
I don't even think I used the term Steele dossier. I just talked about additional material.
But did he have a right to know that?
That had been financed by his political opponents? I don't know the answer to that. It wasn't necessary for my goal, which was to alert him that we had this information.
he's now your boss, dude. You're sitting in a one-on-one meeting with him that you called for to brief him on the situation regarding an investigation that was going on into his campaign for president. And you don't think it's pertinent to let him know that your basis for the foundation of your investigation into him was funded by his political opponent. To me, that is beyond the pale of irresponsible. Now, 9.7 million people supposedly watched last night, which is a pretty good take. It's not like record setting. It's not like Super Bowl numbers. It's not even like a good American Idol night, which, you know, ever since they've returned, they've had trouble. But nonetheless, that's a lot of people. That's about the number of people that live on the island of Manhattan or maybe in the entire Chicago metro area. So it had some degree of interest in those that watched. I thought it was poorly done. I thought Stephanopoulos was not the right person. I would much rather have seen somebody that is willing to do a hard-hitting, looking for the double standard kind of reporter. But Stephanopoulos did try. Cut two.
We know there are hundreds of thousands of Hillary Clinton's emails there. That's an affirmative act of concealment.
That's the judgment you made. Boy, you seem to be alone in that judgment. You look at previous attorney generals for President Bush, for President Ford, for President Obama, Justice Department officials for President Clinton. They all disagree with you. They say this crossed a line.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that. What I would hope is that they would, by reading the book, come with me to October 28th. Tell me what you would do.
Your critics say this is a clear, clear, clear double standard. You revealed information about Hillary Clinton. You concealed information about Donald Trump. That elected Donald Trump.
Take a step back and stare at the two cases and the posture they were in. The Hillary Clinton email case was public, and the counterintelligence investigations trying to figure out whether a small group of people, not Donald Trump, we were not investigating Donald Trump, whether this small group of Americans was coordinating anything with the Russians.
Well, and maybe that's all true, but it seems like James Comey is this guy that has ticked off both sides, which probably he now believes the only way he can keep himself out of trouble is to do what he's doing, just be as public and as loud about it as he can. But I didn't get anything new out of the interview. A lot of the stuff he gave up in his congressional testimony, which, by the way, there were seven things that I did think that were unresolved in the Comey narrative. That's why I wrote about them in Town Hall. I normally publish on Sunday. They published me on Saturday in advance of some people being able to read it in advance of the interview with Comey. And turned out to go viral, and there's a lot of people wondering why my seven questions didn't get addressed either. Now, there's some other headlines breaking this afternoon. Remember last week I told you that Governor Jerry Brown was going to send the California National Guard troops to the border? And it was kind of a shocker. It was like, hey, this is going to be, an unusual act of cooperation between the governor of the state of California and the president, who disagree on the issue of the border wall and illegal immigration generally. Well, the Associated Press just this afternoon, just a little while ago, says that the state is rejecting this proposal to work together, and that the state informed federal officials that now it's not going to allow its troops to even fix and repair vehicles operated remotely or controlled surveillance cameras to report suspicious activity at the border for the Border Patrol. And that's all that the military was going to do, by the way. The Border Patrol are the ones that are empowered to protect the border. They're the ones that can make arrests, put people in jail, that kind of thing. The military can't. But if you have a whole bunch of military on the border with their eyes open, then you can help Border Patrol find more people that are trying to penetrate our defenses. And the interesting thing about this is that California doesn't even want a border to exist. They don't want anybody watching the border. They don't want Border Patrol watching the border. They don't want vehicles getting repaired. They don't want, remotely operated surveillance cameras. Evidently, California just wants to have a big, flat, wide-open border on its border, which would be fine if they were their own country. So maybe now's the time we saw them off from the rest of the mainland and push them out into the Pacific, like I've been suggesting for weeks. Stay with us. Michael Goodwin from the New York Post joins me next. More on Comey. Don't go away.
What they think or believe or feel, it's based upon what they've actually done.
Joe Walsh has some advice for the president.
I think we're at a really crucial moment. I know he probably doesn't listen to me. If I could give advice to President Trump right now, man, he's got to chill out. He's got to ignore Robert Mueller.
Ignore the investigation.
Ignore all of that. Don't tweet about it. Don't talk about it. Do your job.
The Joe Walsh Radio Program. Weeknights at 9, right before Eric Metaxas at 11 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. You've heard me frequently talk about the number of children in Haiti that face cruel and unusual circumstances. Friends, it's an inhumane reality to understand that children are constantly facing these realities and that acts of nature have only made them worse. But we can do something about that. Our friends Food for the Poor have been on the ground for more than 30 years in Haiti, and right now we have the opportunity to help rescue 520 Haitian children for the coming year. $50 will feed a child for the full year and supply clean drinking water, purified, beautiful, delicious, clean drinking water for the rest of their life. And due to a very generous matching gift, for those of you that can do at least three children in the next 10 minutes, so a one-time gift of $150, your gift will be automatically doubled. But a gift of any size helps right now rescue a child. 855-919-4673. That's 855-919-4673.
Hi, can I help you?
Yes, I have a snoring problem.
Can you describe it for me, please?
Well, it's about 5'11" with curly hair and a mustache.
Oh, I see.
Mute is the latest in snoring technology from Australia. That may be the solution to your 5'11" snoring problem, letting you finally get a good night's sleep. Snoring is not normal and happens when we breathe through our mouth instead of our nose. Mute is a comfortable nasal dilator that sits inside the nose and supports the airway, allowing snorers to breathe more easily through their nose and keep their mouth closed during sleep. Trials show that 75% of couples are able to enjoy a good night's sleep together when their partner uses Mute. Mute is effective, easy to use, and may just be your answer to a good night's sleep. Mute is available at Walgreens, GNC, and your local drugstore. Find your nearest store at mutesnoring.com. Mute. Breathe more, snore less, sleep better.
Hey, this is Michael Riedel from the New York Post. Be sure to listen to my show, On the Town, every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock here on AM 970, The Answer. There's an exciting new revival of Carousel that's in previews now at the Imperial Theater. Carousel is one of my favorite American musicals by Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein. It stars Tony winner Jesse Mueller. It is now in previews at the Imperial. Visit telecharge.com and get tickets to Carousel. That's telecharge.com. Now in previews at the Imperial Theater on Broadway.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
The Hillary Clinton email case was public, and the counterintelligence investigations trying to figure out whether a small group of people, not Donald Trump, we were not investigating Donald Trump.
That was when Jim Comey was trying to explain last night as to why, when both investigations were going on, he did publicly speak about the Hillary Clinton investigation and hid the idea that he was investigating the Trump team from the Trump team at the time, and that was his explanation of it. It's Kevin McCullough. Glad you're with us. Interesting to get some feedback and some acknowledgement of what this interview, if it meant anything, means. 9.7 million people watched it. I mean, that's a good share. That's a good share for a Sunday night. But it's certainly not a record-setting night by any stretch of the imagination. Here to discuss this, Michael Goodwin of the New York Post and Fox News. He is a contributor at Fox News, and he writes for the New York Post. Michael, it's interesting, both the material that they did cover and the material that they did not cover in last night's hour-long sit-down. And I think that when you hear sound bites like this one, you kind of understand why. Cut one.
I don't even think I used the term steel dossier. I just talked about additional material.
But did he have a right to know that?
that had been financed by his political opponents? I don't know the answer to that. It wasn't necessary for my goal, which was to alert him that we had this information.
Michael Goodwin, he didn't think it was necessary to tell the president that the dossier that they were basing this entire investigation upon was funded by Hillary Clinton in his first meeting with him after being elected.
Right.
What do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting. He didn't tell the FISA court judges either, did he? This is the Comey way, always to withhold something that you can use later. You cannot look at that information and say, oh, well, that's inconsequential. It's not related to my goal here. Well, perhaps not, depending on what your goal is. If your goal is to set up some kind of power relationship with the president-elect, then maybe you made the right choice. But if your goal is to be forthcoming with your new boss, you made the wrong choice. Look, I think Comey is a snake. I think this idea that he is somehow an honest person of integrity is a total misunderstanding of his entire career. And I think we're starting to get more clarity now because of not only his conduct as head of the FBI, but look at what he's doing now.
Right.
I mean, we are in the midst of an investigation of the President of the United States, and all Comey can do is go out there and try to sell books and try to ratchet up pressure. I mean, this is the former head of the FBI saying it's possible that the Russians have information on the president. Now, if you thought that was really true, wouldn't that have been part of your investigation? Wouldn't there be some answer to that question now? But he's using it in a salacious way that is just reprehensible.
Wouldn't he, as a former FBI director, be so concerned about that implication that he would see to it that the hard evidence supporting it would make it into the proper hands, but wouldn't say a word about it publicly?
That's what
the normal FBI, you know, code of conduct would have called for.
And well, that's right. And he was obliged to follow that conduct, not only when he was in the department, but now that he's left. I mean, if this is important classified information that Robert Mueller is working on in some way, I mean, how does Mueller feel about his chief witness, one of his chief witnesses, out there going on television saying these things? I mean, it, in many ways, I think it further undercuts all of the investigations against Trump because it makes it look like a carnival act.
Sure. Well, and after what was revealed about Mr. McCabe on Friday, that the inspector general said that he lied at least four times, you know, on material grounds about things that he should have been straightforward with. And this was the guy that was number two to Comey. But you mentioned, you used an interesting word there, Michael. You said snake. And in the dark recesses of my mind, as I was battling my bronchitis this morning and I was rewatching the Comey special, was it not then Deputy Attorney General Comey that tried to pull a fast one on the Bush administration and race to the bedside of John Ashcroft, the empowered attorney general at the time, to get a signature on a piece of paper to do something significant, I think, as it related to the Patriot Act? I was trying to remember the details of this, but it became more and more clear as I was reflecting on it. And the administration actually had to send Ari Fleischer or someone to Ashcroft's bedside in the hospital. He was out getting a procedure of some sort, and it was basically Comey versus the White House, and he did get trumped. But at that time, that was a very sneaky play as well. And so this idea of sneaking around and doing things behind people's backs and so forth, this is a long time reputation that this guy has.
Oh, yes. Well, in that case, what he did was he was opposed to Ashcroft's signature, and of course he let the New York Times know that. So I think that is the consistent thread here, is that he has always leaked. He helped prosecute Scooter Libby. He appointed his friend Patrick Fitzgerald
to prosecute the leak of Valerie Plame's name, even though they knew early on that Scooter Libby wasn't the guilty one, that it was a member of Colin Powell's staff. So, in other words, again, it was a political prosecution. And when Comey tells Stephanopoulos and writes in his book that he might have effectively taken a different action about the reopening of the Clinton probe if he thought that the polls were wrong, because the polls had Clinton winning, once again, he is admitting to playing politics with his decision-making. I mean, this to me is besmirches the FBI. And then, as you mentioned, Kevin, with Andrew McCabe, so you have number one and number two playing politics at the FBI during the presidential election. It doesn't get more bizarre and more vile than that.
Yeah. Well, and especially when we are so dependent upon the FBI being an entity of great integrity. Like, that's the reason why they hire the ones they do and send the ones they do on the cases that they do. And the fact that so many of that top brass, most of the politically appointed class, has now been either demoted, fired, or reassigned, I think says a lot about the culture that was going on there during the Obama administration. But time will tell, and we'll see if any of it impacts Mueller and Trump going forward. But Michael's piece is in FoxNews.com and New York Post today. James Comey proves he only cares about himself. Go read it. Michael, as always, thank you for your analysis. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Kevin. Thank you.
Kevin McCullough Radio rolls on. We've got a lot to get to yet, including a look at the markets, which are doing a little bit better today than last week, and we'll discuss why with David Fisher. That's all yet to come. Stay with us.
It's Reese.
And Irvy.
From the franchise concept, Reese and Irvy's. By now you've heard about our patented frozen yogurt vending robots that serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt with 6 amazing toppings in less than 60 seconds.
To date, we've sold over 200 franchises, 1,000 robots, and we're officially labeled as one of the hottest franchise opportunities of 2018.
With no employees, no rent, no brick and mortar shops, just fully automated robots that work for you and deliver instant customer satisfaction. Revenue for you. Smiles for them.
We secure our franchisees' high foot traffic locations like cinemas, hotels, tourist attractions, colleges, and malls. From installation to instant sensation, we provide you all the tools for Froyo success.
No experience is necessary, and full and part-time franchise opportunities are available.
To find out if your territory is still available, go to froyofranchising.com to learn more and be sure to enter promo code 2323. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 2323.
Be sure to tune in every Sunday night as Labor Press, New York's leading source for daily labor news and industry information, brings you their Blue Collar Buzz radio show. The hosts, Neil Tappel and Bill Holfeld, will discuss issues in the workplace and talk with some of the most prominent and influential personalities in the labor community. It's Labor Press, Sunday nights at 9, right here on AM 970, The Answer.
Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law and wondered what's the best course of action to take? During Kevin McCullough Radio, you'll hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan, Attorneys at Law, answering a real listener's actual question. If you have a legal question for Mike Connors, the Ask the Lawyer host, simply email the question to mikeconnors@gmail.com. That's mikeconnors@gmail.com. Or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500 and see for yourself. That's Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors every Saturday evening at 6 on AM 970, The Answer.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at AM970TheAnswer.com.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Big Monday news day. We're still watching several stories for you. And don't forget, Money Monday is coming up. David Fisher with me in the next segment. And your chance to win a $20 one-ounce gold coin, the Liberty coin, just in time for July 4th, Independence Day weekend. I'll tell you more about that. coming up as well. We turn on Mondays to Dr. Gina Loudon for a different perspective and take on something, sometimes from the medical or the mental health perspective, because she is a twice pedigreed psychologist, and we're always grateful to have her with us. Women are in the news today. A couple of big names, at least, in this afternoon. This came out yesterday. First of all, welcome back, Dr. Gene. It's good to have you.
Barbara, good to be with you.
The Bush family has made it known that Barbara Bush is in failing health. I think she has congestive heart failure and a couple of other things. And she has declined any further medical treatment for that. Not sure how long that leaves her, but your thoughts on what this woman means to the makeup of modern America. And she was both the wife and mother of American presidents, and someone that generally had a much better approval rating than both her husband or sons had at any given time in their life. Your thoughts on Barbara Bush?
Yeah, well, regardless of what you think about the Bush dynasty in terms of establishment or elite or all of those things, Barbara Bush represents sort of the quintessential grandmother of America, I think, in so many ways. And I think that she also, I love that she sort of emblematically battled the feminist narrative that you can't be both very strong, very influential, and very committed to your husband and your family.
Right.
You know, nobody ever doubted for a moment that she was strong on all fronts there. And the feminists try to tell women that we have to make a choice between being strong career women or strong women in general and being married and committed to your husband and your family. Barbara Bush proved all of those lies wrong, and I love that about her.
Yeah, it's got to be hard coming down the stretch, seeing her in this condition. What the family is going to be gathered around her, fortunately, if they are on the right track here. But it is a tough way to go with heart failure and so forth. And my prayers and thoughts with all of them in the next
Absolutely.
Few days. Let's
yeah.
talk about. So this next woman I want to discuss, I actually saw several people in my Twitter feed today. Say, is this the first female president of the United States? And then it was a picture of Nikki Haley. And I think that of all the people that President Trump has nominated and put into positions within his government, there may be none more popular with his Republican base than Nikki Haley, just because she has been such a tough talker in the UN. But she did evidently get a little bit ahead of the administration yesterday and say that they're going to put sanctions on Russia, you know, additionally than what they have now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I hesitate to, you know, sort of canonize someone as the next president or even as a worthy contender when we really haven't had a long opportunity to see her work, to see how she's going to react politically, perhaps, once she's no longer in that capacity. I mean, she's had a couple of good runs here, but at the same time, I would like to see a little more long-term view of her commitment to what is the American people's agenda, sort of the MAGA agenda, if you will, going long-term. Her job right now is to, you know, to be very, very narrow-focused in what she's been assigned to do.
Right.
And that can often look a lot more like you are in full subscription to the president's, thus the American people's agenda, than perhaps it is. So what I'd like to see is how she handles things once that is no longer her job description.
Well, and I think that it's interesting that she has to show up at the UN every day and talk tough to all these men from all these Middle Eastern countries that have no respect for women at all.
Mm. And that is interesting, and she seems to be doing a great job of it. So, I mean, once again, it just proves that it's not about really whether you're male or female. It's not really about whether you're Republican or Democrat, a feminist. It's not a pre-qualifier for being a strong woman and being able to do a good job in whatever capacity. So I think, again,
yeah.
She bodes well for those of us who try to break through some of those preconceptions.
Totally. Other thought on the missile strike over the weekend, Dr. Gina, and you were a Trump supporter from day one. I was one that came later, you know, after the Indiana primary. But there's a lot of people, not a lot. Let me rephrase that. There's a few people that have been long-term Trump supporters, Tucker Carlson, one of my friends here in New York, Frank Morano, and some others that really liked what they call Trump's non-intervention kind of approach to foreign policy. And some of them feel like the missile attack, which I had no problem with, and I actually thought it took a little too long for us to get it put together. They feel like that he kind of broke that faith with the people that were, you know, very non-interventionalist in their viewpoint. How do you square launching missiles versus, say, putting troops on the ground, which I think is really more of what he promised, as opposed to not responding at all when it comes to, you know, major international events?
Well, I would say to them, the non-interventionalists, that, you know, hey, you've got the war hawks criticizing him, too, for not doing more. So which is it? I think he actually took a very practical approach here. And once again, I'm just always sort of, I expected the president to do a good job. I'm always sort of shocked at what an amazing job I think he's done. And again, this isn't nation building. So people don't need to go get all apoplectic about this. This is something different. This is truly about, you know, doing the right thing in the right time and with the least extreme measures. I think that he measured it well.
I think you're spot on. And if anybody saw those Pentagon pictures that they just released, man, did we ever hit those targets. Dr. Gina, thanks for being with us. Kevin McCullough, glad to be with you. Stay with us. Money Monday is next.
Wednesday afternoon, it's your information fast lane at AM 970, The Answer. Michael Medved blasts off at 3. Kevin McCullough, breaking news as it happens at 4. John Catsimatidis getting both sides of the story at 5. And Jay Sekulow, making news from the nation's capital at 6. Get your information super infusion every Wednesday. The stories you need and the analysis you trust. Only on AM 970, The Answer.
Hey friends, Kevin McCullough. If you're feeling run down, don't have energy, it's because you're not eating the fruits and the veggies and getting the energy that they should be giving you the way you should, that you're supposed to. And that's why it's time to try Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in capsule form. They're not like vitamins with synthetics. These are natural food in a capsule, and they use the whole food. They got vital nutrients because they use 100% of the plant, the seed, the stems, fruits, veggies. It's all there. It's whole food nutrition. Each capsule has 10 servings of fruits and veggies. And once you start taking Balance of Nature, you're going to feel great. People report their skin looks better. They've got less aches and pains. But forget about that. If you're fighting the cold, the allergies, the flu, I'm telling you, it has worked wonders in my family's life. And I can tell you 100%, I do not miss a day taking Balance of Nature. It's time to improve the quality of your life, so get started now. Call Balance of Nature. They've got an offer you can't beat. 800-246-8751. Use promo code THEANSWER. You're going to get 35% off your first month's supply. Go to balanceofnature.com. Make sure you use the promo code THEANSWER. Good health is only a phone call away. You hear them say it all the time. Balance of Nature. 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. The promo code is The Answer. It's 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751.
Tired of dealing with dummies? Experience the smart way to buy a car at Route 22 Toyota. No hidden fees, no back and forth, no pressure, and no wasting time with dummies. Alex Kinsella, the general manager, prides himself on his low, low lease offers and 0% APR financing for up to 72 months for qualified buyers. And now my buddy Alex wants you to experience their new smart way to service. He's taking the same smart approach that's been so successful in selling cars into the service bay. So he said, Joe, I'm going to let you give the first 5 callers in the next 5 minutes a free multi-point inspection and oil change and filter if they call 855-621-9949 and say, Joe sent me. 855-621-9949 in the next 5 minutes. Get a free oil change and filter on me. 855-621-9949 and say, this one's on Joe. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com. Tell them Joe sent you for the free oil change. All European makes excluded.
Hi, Phil Van Horn here from Blue Rock Energy. Higher summer temperatures will bring big increases to your energy bill. And it's not just because you're using more. Rates actually spike during the warmer months. During this year's harsh winter, our customers avoided massive rate spikes by locking in lower natural gas and electricity rates early. And you can do the same this summer. After all, seasons change, but your energy rates don't have to. Visit BlueRockEnergy.com today to learn more and make the free switch to a fixed rate energy plan.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me, it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the New Jersey Army National Guard. Aired by the New Jersey Broadcasters Association and this station.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. She hosts a weekly radio program devoted entirely to making life better for America's seasoned citizens and their families. Getting older requires strength and courage. Getting older requires community. Getting older requires information. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, Sunday afternoons 1 to 2, right here on AM 970, The Answer.
Proving that he may be ready for prime time. Frank Morano. Sunday mornings at 4 on AM 970. The Answer.
Look around, look around. How lucky we are to be alive right now. Look around, and how lucky we are to be alive right now. History is happening in Manhattan, and we just happen to be in the greatest city in the world. In the greatest city in the world.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad to have you with us on a Monday, and of course, this is the day of the week where everybody's getting back at it. And I'm looking at the indexes, and everything's up a little bit today. It's not like a record day on the markets, but it is an interesting day, you know, given that we launched airstrikes over the weekend, and James Comey had his big sit-down interview and some other things that, you know, culture might look at and say, oh, there's reasons for this or that. But I want to go straight to the source, because on Money Mondays, we talked with David Fisher, who is the head of he's the CEO of Landmark Capital, and he rejoins us. By the way, I want you to be reminded that coming up July, the weekend of July 4th, by the way, how are you going to celebrate July 4th this year? Maybe by winning a Liberty Gold coin, a $20 gold coin that's right now worth somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 if you look them up. That's what Landmark Capital is celebrating this 4th of July with. They're going to award one special person that gold coin, and you automatically are registered for that contest when you call and receive the 2018 Financial Survival Packet at no cost to you. It's almost $200 value of materials and goods, and you are going to walk away with great information, including that new white paper that is really worth reading. Time is up. Which bubble will burst first to trigger the coming great deflate? More details on that when you call 844-604-2575 and say, I want to register for the contest, and I want to get my financial survival packet. Call them today, 844-604-2575. David Fisher's in the house. David, welcome. Good to have you back.
It's great to be with you again this afternoon, Kevin.
Now, so even though we did drop some missiles over the weekend, the indexes are all up right now, and it looks like there's a little bit of a bounce back, I guess, for this day. What do you make of where the markets are as we start the week?
Well, we're not in a war, so obviously that's why there's not these big swings happening as a result of the weekend. But we clearly have a global synchronized recovery happening with massive tax cuts in the United States, but also rising budgets. But we're on a rebuilding of, like, the hurricane area and projects. Record corporate profits are coming out with companies having stock buybacks. We have oil at $60 a barrel and a record low unemployment for the United States. But this rally here that we've been talking about is based upon more commercial investing and computerized trading rather than the what you call the retail investor. As you know, Kevin, I'm on TD Ameritrade as a contributor, right. And they have an index there now that's been developed since December 2010 called the IMX, which reads investors' sentiment on retail investors completely. It doesn't talk about what they think or believe or feel. It's based upon what they've actually done in their accounts, cool, and the positions they've done. And that index is down 39% in 3 months. It's plunged, whoa, saying that the retail investor is not comfortable in this current market.
Well, that is certainly an interesting index to watch then. I'll be asking you about that in days to come.
But
let me ask you this.
Kevin, with that, we're going to have inflation, though. That's what's really the core headlines undertone here.
Right. Well, and in addition to that, we've now crossed the 15th of this month, and your theory on the unloading of treasuries, that there's more going to be unloaded here in the next day or two, will we see another low or lull in the markets because of that?
Well, they sell more at the end of the month than at the 15th. Very little of the treasuries that the Fed is selling, called unwinding their balance sheet, is done in the mid-month, but it's done more so towards the end. So I think the end of the month we're going to have a big change again. But I think some of the things that are causing added change to this is the IMF just came out with a stark warning of dark clouds looming. They said that the global economy has peaked now and we're in a downturn in 2018 is more inevitable. And also last week, the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, came out with our government spending. We have excess spending up to 60% of our GDP, $4.7 trillion. They're estimating in 2020, and they're also saying now we're going to have $1 trillion deficit budgets. So we are on a spending spree. The Fed is selling. This is an inflationary environment, and gold is responding.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Now, you just laid out some of the reasons why you think inflation is rising. Does inflation rising always correspond with, or at least usually correspond with, the value of gold going up as well?
Yeah, historically, when inflation comes to an economic environment, that causes higher prices in gold because we have more interest rates being going up by the Fed, which attracts more money to support the dollar. But the problem is, during this economic boom, we pulled away from not paying down our debt. We've escalated our debt. So gold is up 3.5% year-to-date, while stocks are still down 0.5%, while the dollar has dropped over the last 14 months 13%. But we've had 6 out of the last 7 days in trading days, gold has been up, and we're in the third quarter of row where gold has been moving up. At the end of this month, though, here's going to be the key, in my opinion. As I said previously, China launched their currency called the Petrowon on March 26. Now, a full month later, at the end of this month, that first contract is going to come due, and these countries, that have bought oil and are getting paid in won now can choose to take physical delivery of gold if they don't want to accept the yuan as payment. We're going to see that happen on the Shanghai Gold Exchange, which was set up in 2005. So this all moving up in gold could be not just inflationary, it could be because the world's getting ready to induce gold into their portfolio.
A higher demand. Yeah.
As the currency of the yuan is being released.
Well, and that's the advantage of the petro yuan, right? I mean, you've got oil and gold backing a single currency. That's a doubly secure form. Now, I've talked to some financial people, David, and they think that there's not enough of the petrol yuan out there to really, you know, make a dent in the dollar overall. But, you know, you got to start somewhere is my response to them. And if they have a more solid currency, I think that should be a warning flag to us, shouldn't it?
Well, those friends are absolutely right, but it took 9 years for the U.S. dollar to take foot and hold and become the world reserve currency. This is not going to happen overnight with China, but it's launched, and that's the starting point of this, just like it was for the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, and they're playing the long game in finance, just like they are in defense and in global politics. You know, they're influencing people in all different spectrums and regions related to all three of those things. Well, friends, it's one of the reasons why I want you to get that new white paper. Time is up. Which bubble will burst first to trigger the coming great deflate? That's the brand new, hot off the press white paper by David Fisher at Landmark Capital. And it's part of the financial survival guide that you can get absolutely free, no cost to you at all. But it's worth about $189 when you get it. And you'll be registered to compete in that contest on the weekend of July 4th, the Liberty Coin. It's a beautiful coin. And what a better way to celebrate our nation's freedom on independence weekend than to walk home with a $20 Liberty Gold coin. 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com. Hi, Kevin McCullough. My friends at Landmark Capital are going patriotic. They'd like you to win a $20 1 ounce Liberty Gold coin on July 6th, you know, 2 days after July 4th. That patriotic of all patriotic holidays. Call and get your 2018 financial survival kit. And when you do, you're automatically registered to win potentially the $20 Liberty coin and a personal consultation with Landmark CEO David Fisher about your portfolio. Personally, with you. You hear him on Money Mondays with me on Kevin McCullough Radio. Enter by calling 844-604-2575. Contest runs April 9th through July 6th, and every entry gets the 2018 Financial Survival Kit, a value of nearly $200, at no cost to you. Enter by calling 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. How much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
Hey, just ask your delivery guy, or the guy who built your delivery guy's house, or the guy who laid the highway for the guy who built your delivery guy's house. Ford Commercial Vehicles can handle the job. During commercial vehicle season, save on Transit, Transit Connect, E-Series, Super Duty, and Medium Duty trucks. Ford Trucks and Vans. Year after year, America's best-selling line of commercial vehicles, because they're built Ford tough.
Claim based on IHS market calendar year 1985 through 2017. U.S. TIP registrations excluding registrations to individuals. See your dealer for details.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970. The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right. Thank you for hanging with us this last hour. We've covered lots of ground today, and still some breaking stuff that we're watching for you. So keep your radio set right where it is. Kevin McCullough, always glad to have you with us. And on Mondays, thankful that David Fisher is with us to help us keep track of the markets and so forth. And, of course, Dr. Gina with her unique take on everything. That's always a pleasure as well. Now, it's interesting that as we continue to move into the increasingly politically correct days, you know, that we inhabit, I keep finding these stories that you just wonder, like, how this is going to play for some kid down the road. Okay? So when you and I were growing up, what did you name at the homecoming game? There was a man and a woman, homecoming king, homecoming queen, and they were elected, right? Most places, it's like a political election of some sort, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So Penn State University, which has had its own struggles and problems in recent years, steps up to the plate. And this last week made a very weird decision, very strange decision. They have decided that no longer will there be a homecoming queen or king. Instead, they're going to give titles that are gender neutral so that they can, quote, be welcoming to all. Their 2018 Homecoming Executive Committee and Royalty Committee, instead of honoring one man and one woman through campus popular vote, will now give two students, regardless of gender, this is what they'll call them, the Guide State Forward Award winner. So just picture it. You're at the, you know, the first game in October at the home field, and, you know, it's a big deal, and everybody's come back from being far away, and all the alumni are on campus. And they, at halftime, roll out the big revelation. Who's going to be king? Who's going to be queen? Et cetera, et cetera. But instead, they roll this out and they say, now, ladies and gentlemen, presenting this year's hard-fought-for Guide State Forward Award winner. The Student Resource Center Director, Brian Pachkowski, said, this continues their dedication toward diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that these changes challenge us to expand our understanding of sexual and gender diversity and extends a welcome that other universities and institutions have been doing for some time. Yeah, because Guide State Forward Award winner has such a ring to it. Yeah, I'm sure every school is going to be doing this a year from now. I'm Kevin McCullough. We'll see you next time.